Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
Hello, everyone. Nice to be with you. Paul Barry here on the program, and we're talking about, as always, health. Generally, we're talking about financial health, but today we're talking about it from a little different perspective. Can you be financially healthy if you're not physically healthy? And can you be physically healthy if you don't get off the couch? I know you stand there, you're looking right in front of the television. I know what you're doing. And you know what? We all do the same thing tomorrow. I'll get out and run tomorrow. I'll get out and do some exercise tomorrow. Well, tomorrow is not soon enough. Do you know that one in three gets the CDC's recommended amount of exercise each week? That's it. The rest of us, hey, hang on. You're heading for a cold place because you're not taking care of yourself physically. Simple as that. Cramming a week's worth of exercise. That's what we'll do. Okay, I got it. We're going to just cram a week's worth of exercise into 2 days. That was frowned upon in the past, partly due to the risk of injury. Now those who make a living sitting 5 days a week are getting some encouragement from the Journal of American Medical Association, the JAMA. It says that you can catch up, but can you? We have an expert with us today who's going to talk about that. He is a certified doctor, a medical doctor, Dr. Ken Redcross, board certified internal medicine physician. And he says Americans are jammed for time when it comes to making time for exercise. And although the study shows exercise is a benefit no matter how you can cram it into your schedule, he says be careful. Be careful because you can hurt yourself. Simply put, there's some do's and don'ts that you want to do with this type of exercise. Ken Redcross, and that really is his name, joins us now from New York to talk about this exercise business.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Ken. It's a pleasure to have you on the radio. You've heard this the latest, I guess it's a craze or a phase or whatever, which suggests that you just don't exercise. It doesn't say don't exercise, but if you don't exercise for 5 days, on Saturday, Sunday for a couple of days, go crazy. What do you think?
Well, not 100% crazy, Paul. So, look, this is why this study is so exciting, everyone, because like you mentioned, a lot of us are sitting around and we're thinking, okay, maybe tomorrow we're going to exercise. But this study let us know, you know what, there's no more excuses. We all have a couple of days on the weekend, or at least most of us, to try to get that exercise in. And the big key here with this study is it showed that the mortality, in other words, we lived longer, whether we were working out 5 days a week or just getting it all in those 2 days on the weekend. But there's one caveat. If you're cramming it all in for the weekend, you're absolutely right, Paul. You can actually increase the risk of injury. So that's why it's important to come on today and really talk about some do's and some don'ts if we're going to be kind of the weekend enthusiasts as far as our exercise.
So you're saying, in effect, we can take this too far, and if we're not careful, we can do some real damage to ourselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so it's key to make sure that we have to have a plan, just like with anything. Like you're talking finance all the time. You have to have a plan or you're not going to do well. And so you need to make sure that, just like with finance, that you have a plan for your exercise. So as we talk about some of the do's, number one, Paul, you have to make sure that we warm up and cool down. That's a rookie mistake if we don't do that. Lots of times people will warm up. They'll stretch a tiny bit, but they don't cool down afterwards. And that's important for our ligaments and our tendons to be able to relax post-exercise, especially if you're trying to cram the exercise in the next day, like maybe your Sunday. That becomes incredibly important.
Well, when you say cool down, now I understand getting in and kind of maybe stretching and maybe running a little bit or whatever. But how do you cool down? What do you have to do? What's different than just sitting there in a chair and sitting for a while?
Because cool down usually insinuates that what we're going to do is you're still going to moderately exercise your way kind of out of the gym. So in other words, you've already warmed up, you've had a wonderful workout, now it's time to kind of maybe jog lightly, to get your heart rate down slowly. You want to do everything gradually. You may even want to do some other exercises that are related to the exercise that you just did as well, but just do them lighter. So you want to make sure that your body is coming down gradually to make sure that you're not at risk for injury, especially because you're going to probably be back in there the next day. So that becomes incredibly important to make sure that you're ready and fit to go.
Okay, and if in fact I'm excited about this cramming, should I consider what my age is and what my lifestyle is before I get started? I mean, in other words, is this good for everybody, no matter how old you are, or do I have to be careful in terms of the aging process?
Well, so the first thing that's important is that, yes, this is good for all of us. I don't care if you're a 9 or 90. Exercise is incredible for all of us. Now, as far as one of the exercise cram don'ts, Paul, you have to make sure that you know your limitations. In other words, you know, let go of your ego. That way you'll know that if you've only lifted 100 pounds as far as your bench press, don't come in today and try 250 pounds. Know your limits there, and that's the important part when you're talking about it. The other thing that becomes increasingly important as well, Paul, is to make sure that you're dealing with the muscle aches immediately. Because, of course, if you're trying to cram things in on a Saturday and a Sunday, you can't be sore from Saturday's exercise. And one of the things I love to talk to patients about, because there's a wonderful line of defense, it's a homeopathic cream or gel. It's called Arnicare. And Arnicare was made from Arnica, Montana, also called the Mountain Daisy. And I love things, Paul, that are kind of closer to the earth when I'm talking to patients.
Mm-hmm.
And Arnicare has been shown to help with pain and swelling and also bruising. And more importantly, it doesn't have that menthol smell. And that's great, Paul, for a lot of my patients who are a little bit older, who are used to Bengay and hate that smell. So
okay.
That gets really good for them.
My guest is Ken Redcross. When we come back, I'm going to ask him, does this cream mask the pain, or does it really do something worthwhile? And a lot of other questions that I think you would ask if you had planned to start doing this weekend exercising. I'm not planning to do it. Lord knows I need to. This is Home and Family Finance. When I come back, we'll talk more. Stay with us.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
So you say you're talking about exercise. What has that got to do with finance? I'll tell you what it's got to do with finance. If you're unable to go to work, you're unable to make money. If you can't make money, you can't pay your bills. If you can't pay your bill, you are in deep doo-doo, folks. It's just as simple as that. Now, the truth of the matter is that you can be okay, but you've got to be careful. You should exercise. And Ken Redcross is my guest, and he is here to talk. He's a certified, board-certified doctor who's talking about the importance of exercise and how to handle it. Ken, you mentioned a particular product, Arnicare, I think, or something like that, that if you're hurting, and I've been hurting before from exercise. Now, what does it do? Does it actually help me, or does it just mask the pain?
No, actually, it doesn't mask the pain at all. You know, the interesting thing here, Paul, is Arnica, Montana, has actually been around for hundreds of years. So it's nice to actually have some good data behind that. It's been used in Europe before kind of getting over here as well. So it actually does not mask the pain. The other thing that's interesting, Paul, I told you before, I used to practice in California when you and I were talking.
Right.
And I was actually exposed to Arnicare at that point because a lot of the plastic surgeons, there's a little bit of plastic surgery in L.A., if you didn't know, Paul. So every time they do their surgery, there's this bruising and swelling, especially
sure.
for the nose and for the
right.
eyes. And so
right.
they live by Arnicare each and every day. And then I started to do my research, found out how long it had been around and how beneficial it is for patients. So I love sharing these things that I always say, Paul, to feel like they're much closer to the earth.
Right, right. So is this what is it made of? What?
Well, the actual plant itself is actually called Arnica Montana.
Oh, okay, it's a plant.
Nicknamed the Mountain Daisy. It is.
Okay.
It's a plant, and it's nicknamed the Mountain Daisy. You know, it's fascinating when you see it's up in the mountains, way up in the mountains, several thousand of feet. And so whenever you're thinking about anything that we're thinking about, guys, trying to stay well, you want something that feels like it has been planted before, and you don't want to be too far from the source. Now, Arnicare comes in a couple of different ways. It comes in a cream and also in a gel. And it also comes in pellets as well. They're little pellets you put under your tongue, Paul, and they dissolve, and that works as well. I personally like carrying Arnicare with me in the car. I have my little black bag because I make
right.
house calls. And it's nice when you're out with your kids and you're playing sports and they're playing soccer and they get a little bump or a little sore afterwards and they
right.
can put the Arnicare on. And they love it because, once again, it doesn't have that kind of menthol smell.
Okay. Well, I don't want to do a commercial for Honor Care since they're not paying us anything, but it's something that's worth using. I get you, and I hear that. So let's talk about some more of the dues that you need to be involved in terms of exercise, Doc.
Right. Well, the next thing that's important, really, is to make sure that you hydrate and you actually have restorative foods as well, Paul. So when I'm talking about hydration, I personally talk to patients about coconut water. I'll have so many patients that are like, good gosh, you know, I just mm-hmm. Dr. Red Cross, you don't mm-hmm. understand. I don't like the taste of water. And so luckily, coconut water comes in, and coconut water is flavored now as well. So that makes a big difference. Now, the restorative foods, this is my favorite part. I told you I'm a foodie.
Right.
And one of the things I love are blueberries. Blueberries also help to reduce our muscle soreness.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They do. And then there's eggs. I love a boiled egg after working out because right. it contains all of the essential amino acids. It has antioxidant properties, which helps inflammation. And last but not least, I am a big salmon lover because salmon has been shown to actually speed up sore muscle recovery as well because of the omega-3.
Why don't we know this stuff, Ken? I didn't know that. I mean, why don't we know this? I mean, you're saying there are things that we can eat and drink, coconut water, for instance, that are really restorative, that can really help us and make us feel better and help us heal.
You know, you have to dig. You have to really find this stuff and dig into these things. One of the things that's important to me, I'm Western trained, but I've always been open to Eastern ideals of healing, because I'd rather do something without potential for side effects and some of those things, because we all want to stay healthy and we don't want to make sure that the treatment's worse than the problem. And so that was the reason why I started to search and research all of these things. And I was already a salmon lover, but I didn't know how important it could be to my actual workout.
It's fascinating to hear all of this, and we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the don'ts, folks. You should exercise. My goodness, come on. You know that. You know it's not healthy just sitting there watching the tube, eating everything that passes you. You know that. So this is a way that you can get yourself back in shape and feel better. When we come back, we'll talk with Ken Redcross. By the way, I want to talk about that name too, Ken Redcross. Are you kidding me? This is Home and Family Finance. We'll be right back. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you so much for being with us. My guest is Ken Redcross, to be exact. He is a certified physician, and he's talking to us today about the importance of exercise. I have to ask you about the name Redcross, Ken, please. I know you've been in Hollywood. Did Hollywood get to you?
Hollywood did not get to me at all. I promise. This was heaven sent. No, it's a Native American last name.
Is it really?
Yeah, okay. We've tracked it back 1700, so yeah. It's kind of cool.
That is wonderful, man. Red Cross. You have brothers and sisters?
I don't. I am an only child. That's the reason why I'm talking you to death today, Paul.
So you had nobody to talk to when you were growing up. So it all comes out, doesn't it?
It all comes out somewhere.
Ken, it's a pleasure to have you, and I've learned something from you today listening to you in terms of the importance of foods and the importance of eating properly and making sure you do the right amount of it. But what about somebody overseeing all of this? Do you recommend or suggest that at some point you should have a physician or a technician or somebody to look at, to check you out?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, because you're right. Now, I've already spoken and said that it's important no matter whether we're 9 years old or 90 to make sure we get exercise. But to your point, you are 100% correct. When we get to a certain age group, obviously we're at more risk for hypertension and diabetes and some other medical conditions. So, of course, it's important to make sure you do let your doctor know, hey, look, I heard this doctor on the radio. I'm going to try to start exercising on the weekends even. So is there anything that I should be doing or something that I need to have kind of reduced beforehand? So that's important that you make sure you talk to your doctor.
Okay. Now, back-to-back sessions, how much time should I give myself between exercise sessions?
It depends. When you're doing your exercise sessions, I'd like for patients to at least give an hour in between exercises, especially if on the weekend time. That's important to do that because, once again, don't forget, your body has to recoup itself. That's part of that cool down or even part of the warm up. But you want to make sure that you're also mixing up your workout as well, Paul. That also reduces injury.
All right. Mix it up and cross train. Explain what you mean by that.
So when I say mixing it up, let's say you're lifting weights and you're working on your chest, for instance. It'd be nice to also not next to the next day do the same exercise. You want to work on your lower body as well, because that helps strengthen your workout for the rest of your body as well, and allows the other portion of your body to heal from the day's activity before. Because we're talking about trying to cram this exercise in potentially in 2 days. And so, once again, your muscles need rest.
Okay, and if you sprain or you strain something, stop, right? You shouldn't. I've had people say, well, just kind of work through it. Keep doing an exercise. Is that the right approach?
No, it is definitely not right approach. The right approach at all. Look, your body is telling you something. Pain is something that lets us know. Pain goes from the source of what it happened, of where it happened, up to your brain to say, stop. You have to change something. This isn't good. And so you have to listen to your body when it comes to pain. It's a very important sign that we're not doing something right.
What about the track, the walking outside or walking versus getting into a gym and running on one of those exercise tracks? So is one better than the other?
You know, once again, it depends on the age group. We were talking about some who are a little bit more mature in the years. Now, I always tell them I do not mind walking on the track outside. The only thing is I want to make sure that you cannot speak in full sentences, because that's exercise, Paul. So walking around there is fine, but I want to make sure you cannot complete a full sentence, and that lets me know your heart rate's getting up.
Okay, so having your heart beat a little faster is a good thing.
It's an excellent thing. Your heart is just like a bicep. It's another muscle. So you want to make sure you condition it.
Okay, but I don't like the feeling of that. You know what I mean? I don't mind exercising, but I don't want to get tired.
No, well, Paul, we have some discussions to have then.
Okay. I probably need some training. Anyway, where can the audience find out the more information on what we discussed today? Because it's so important.
Sure. Oh, definitely. So my website is drredcross.com. That's drredcross.com. Facebook is Ken Red Cross MD, and Twitter is @DrRedCross. Please feel free to say hello and ask any questions.
Okay, and they can find out what they need to know or get more, and then you can refer them to wherever else they need to be.
Ken, I would love to.
Ken, it's a pleasure. I tell you what, I'm going to violate all of this, because when I come to New York, where you are, we're going to eat. Okay.
No, fine by me.
You know, I don't mind discussing exercise over a good meal. That's,
all right.
You know, that's just the way it ought to be. And Rich McFadden feels the same way, because we've been on diets for same time. He's one of the engineers here. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much. Ken, right? You know what I mean, Rich. Isn't it true?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we're coming up together, Ken, to see you, okay?
I would love it. Sign me up. You guys take care. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you so much. Ken Red Cross, my guest. That's right. His name, medical doctor there. You can look him up. He tell John to find out where he is. Look, take time and do a little something. Take care of yourself. My goodness. When we come back, we're going to find somebody who's trying to take care of kids. A very special lady who's got a program that she thinks is worthwhile. I think so, too. That's why you'll talk to her and talk with her next. Stay with us. Does that sound familiar to you? Probably not, because it's brand new. So you say, what is it? What is kinder and gentler? Well, it's something that my next guest would like all of our children to be. And as a result of that, she has started a program. She's written. She's a writer. She's an attorney. She's everything. Teacher. And I think that's one that we'll introduce her to you as, more than anything else, a teacher. Her name is Mary Boyd. Mary Esther Boyd, and she's here with us in studio. And the music that you just heard is music that she has written and recorded, and it's all about a program, Kinder and Gentler Make a Friend. She calls herself in the book, or at least the author, Aurora Pearl, which is so much about this that you'd like. I wish there are times when I do this radio show, folks, after having done 40 years in television or so, that I had a camera handy. so I could show you not only this beautiful woman, but the work that she's done and the artwork that's here in front of me, which is the cover of the story that she wants to put into your child's classroom for 15 minutes a week. It's a program that she plans to introduce that will teach our children to be the name of the program, kinder, yes, and gentler. Now, you know what they mean, but have you met them? Well, today you're meeting kinder and gentler. Welcome, Mary. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Paul.
What a wonderful idea. Where'd you get this idea?
You know, I teach educational law, and I used to ask every teacher that sat in front of me, tell me about the kids that are coming to school today. What are they like? Do they come with manners? Are they happy? It's important that you have a product to work with in the classroom. And I have to say they were a little bit silent when I would ask that question. And they said, a lot of these kids are coming to my classroom with broken hearts. They're coming without basic knowledge of getting along, sharing.
Don't know how to do it. Never been taught.
Don't know how to do it. No hygiene. And so the teachers find themselves trying to fill in the gaps. So I developed this program for the very young, 5, 6, 7, to teach them the traits and qualities that really is their pathway to prosperity.
And these qualities include being kinder, and being gentler.
Absolutely includes kinder and gentler, but there are other qualities that we're really going for in this program.
And those qualities are?
The most important one for children, for adults, for American citizens, and that is humility. Children without humility are very difficult to deal with, and everybody has seen children like this. So all of the stories that we read and are projected on the smart board, they go to various issues, but the first and foremost is humility. Children that know that it's not all about them.
Mm-hmm. In your perfect world, how would this program work? Tell me.
The program should work once a week. We have busy teachers, busy curriculums. They have to cram everything in. So we developed a 15-minute program that we know can be put in after lunch, before lunch, at some point once a week. And once a week for every single week of that school year, these kids will enjoy the adventures of kinder and gentler.
So you tell the story. In other words, there will be a story for every week that they sit down and they go through the story, which looks like it's about, 10 pages?
They're all 12 pages, and they're projected on the smart board. The teacher mm-hmm. reads it. Then there's a teacher's manual for discussion about values. So our first story is about empathy. These stories always include animals because empathy is not just how you treat your friends. It's how you treat your pets, how you treat every living thing. And I'm going to include plants because it is true that if young children learn to really appreciate and care about every single living thing and to treat each thing kindly and gently, the success of that child is almost guaranteed.
Mary, it's what an ambitious project, and I look at the work that you've done, and so I know that you are absolutely serious about this. It's tons of work. We've heard some of the music. You've already worked on that. I know you're working right now to try to install this in schools, to instill it in the teachers and the kids, but to install the program in the schools. How are you doing with that? Are you finding resistance?
No resistance at all. And we have two pilot programs, one in the Lulu Ross Elementary School, third grade, in Milford, Delaware. And we're going to have a pilot program at the Neville Thomas Elementary School here in D.C.
Okay, so you've got two locations where you're going to start. When do you begin the program? When do you put the program in place? When does it start?
Well, we have to find some corporate partner to help us get this in the schools. We want to partner particularly with companies that were founded on the same value system. Mm-hmm. America is a very unique social order. We require certain attributes in people. Because we have so many personal liberties, you're sort of free to conduct your life. And we don't want to have you controlled from the outside. You have to be controlled from within, from your own moral core. So that's why this program is very important. Parents don't seem to have time. Teachers definitely don't have time.
The program Kinder and Gentler, what an idea. When we come back, we'll hear more from Mary Boyd about why she wants to have your kid experience this program at least once a week and why we think they should. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
A teacher. Her name is Mary Esther Boyd. You don't know her, but you should. Or at least your children should know her. They should know the program that you'd like to put in your kid's school. And she's here to tell us why we need to do that. Because, well, I'll tell you why. Because you haven't done it at home. You're not teaching your kids to be kind and gentle. You're not teaching your kids to care about others. You're not teaching them the values that will make this world a better place. What it's founded on. Oh, okay, you are. Well, then let's talk about the folks that your kids go to school with who are not. So how do you get this? How do you work it out? Well, some would say, Mary, that this is pie in the sky, that it's never going to happen, that you can't change things the way they are. You know, it's just the way it happens to be. It's just the way the world is today, Mary. I mean, come on. Are you serious?
Paul, we're not going to settle for that. No. These traits have to be taught to every single generation. When a new child is produced and cherished in a family, we still have to teach the child manners. We still have to teach the child respect. We still have to teach the child hygiene. All of these things, stewardship. Now, it is true that these traits have to be age appropriate. We don't want to try to get too far ahead of ourselves. We don't need to be teaching 5-year-olds critical thinking. That is a skill they'll need later.
But not at five.
At 5, 6, and 7, kids love comfort. They love what they know. They love the consistency of what they know, and they love deeply. And all this program does is reinforce loving, stewardship toward living things, good manners. In fact, good manners is the road to prosperity.
And let me just, so that if you understand, how does this work? Well, what Mary is proposing is that once a week, the program, and she would have each week a different book, a different program, that would be taught by the teachers, I guess class-wide, school-wide, I presume, at least for the five-year-olds, those who are in first and second grade or just
kindergarten.
All right. And they would be, this is kinder, and I mean the word kind, kinder and gentler, and these are the name of the characters, if you will. And this is called the Book of Manners, and the first page is that they're sitting, these two kids sitting, one black, one white, sitting on a step, and Gentler says, Gentler, do you know anything about manners? I'm sorry, that was from Kinder, who said that to Gentler. And she answered, I guess being good is one. Why, Kinder, why are you asking? It's very basic and very well illustrated, but you begin to get the idea. She said, and then one says, I heard Mrs. Brown say, such a lack of manners, and it kind of bothered me. I wondered what it meant. And the other says, I think it means following the rules. I'm not sure. Let's get a book about it. Go ahead.
And they go to the library. Kinder and Gentler, by the way, they're spelled K-Y-N-D-E-R and J-E-N-T-L-E-R. They are friends. And all of these issues that children face, they face. They face together. They face them with their friends, and they face it with their animal friends. And the lesson is on a specific value each week. So the first one is on empathy or sympathy or stewardship, and 26 weeks each week. And then there's class discussion. Mm-hmm. These characters, kinder and gentler, are not just in the stories. They're actual dolls that have been produced and puppets that have been produced. So the teacher can use these dolls and puppets plus wow. the stories. And we hope public schools and private schools and after-school programs, homeschoolers.
Yeah.
All we're doing is putting the values, the traits that almost guarantee a child a prosperous life.
You use animals as well. Or animals, it's filled
always,
with different kinds of animals.
Always animals.
All the things that kids like and love. Look, the program, it's well thought out, but is this what drives us to do the right thing here? Generally, what seems to drive us to do the right thing is dollars, money. How do I make some money? And instead of you saying how to make money, you're asking for money from corporations to join you to do what?
We don't want donations. We want a partnership with a company. We want a company who was founded on the same values of this program. And the way you know a company has values is how they treat their customers. Customer service in a corporation is a reflection of good manners. So for kids to become prosperous, they start with manners, not economics. So the pathway to prosperity begins with please and thank you and sharing. And I have to say this, handwritten thank you notes. Sounds old-fashioned.
I thought prosperity began with dollars, with, you know.
If you're not a good person and you don't have a good moral core, all the money in the world will not help you.
You're not going to be what you need to be. That's going to be. Okay, let's talk to corporations here because I think it's important when we come back, and we will take a break in just a minute. But the other point that I wanted to make is that you are, you believe that you can actually change things by teaching children how to be kind and how to be gentle. And you know what? I agree with that. What I'm afraid of is can you really get there? Can you get to these kids?
You can get there, and a child can get there. It's very important for children to realize that what they come from, where they come from, the amount of money or affluence their parents have, has no bearing on what they can do.
And being a good person.
Once they have the moral core that they practice and learn young, that carries them into the land of the prosperous. You don't have to have money to make money. You don't have to have wealth from your family. It's up to you.
Mary Boyd, my guest here, a teacher who cares and who's telling you how you can help her make a difference by changing the way we do things, by teaching our kids to be kind and to be gentle. How could I not have her on the program to talk to you? I have to. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us. Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm very pleased to have in studio Mary Boyd, a teacher of considerable ability, and who is now putting out a program or wants to start a program nationwide in every school where we're teaching young children, beginning at the age of 5, to be kinder and gentler, to teach them in a way that they will accept this through a program that she has, which has, and Rich, at some point, play that our music again a little bit so we can let folks hear that. You can't see the artwork and the wonderful work that she's done, but a series of stories that would reflect to young kids the importance of being kinder and gentler. And those are the main characters in her book. But there are those who will say that, come on, Mary Boyd, you know, this is America. This is not how things work. We don't get things done like that. But you're saying, why not?
We have to. In fact, if we want America to exist, we have to. American society requires citizens with moral fiber. What we have forgotten is that you have to take each generation and teach them anew.
But Mary, if I can spend all the time I want, and I'm being critical, playing the devil's advocate here, to teach these kids, but when they go home, they go right back to the same ugliness, the same viciousness, the same mother or father or caretaker who could care less about being kind or being gentle.
Now, they actually, when they see these behaviors in their friends at school, they can't wait to get to school. They can't wait for the weekly story. They can't wait for the club meeting once a month, the kinder and gentler club at school. It does transform them. And then once you add the economic knowledge to the manners, to the humility, to the gratefulness, they begin to see how they, regardless of how they originated in life, they see their future, and their future's guaranteed. But it starts here. It starts with their moral core. Mm-hmm. It starts with humility and gratefulness.
And does it make a difference that that's not what they find at home?
Makes no difference. They'll like this better. Kids want to be good. They have more fun being good. They actually like being kinder and gentler.
Let's talk about corporations who you need the corporate support.
Some of the founders of America's greatest companies would agree with me completely. And they're looking for the person with that moral core to work for them. They're looking for that in their employees because that person is going to deliver service to the public. That person has empathy for the feelings of the public. I want to tell you about two people in America that I think represent this program. They're historic figures.
Go ahead.
But they're the finest Americans I can think of. One is Abraham Lincoln. Very, very poor background. Never went to school a day in his life. And he has turned out to be the finest thinker and writer we've ever produced. And the other one is someone you may or may not have heard of. Her name is Marian Anderson. She's a contralto.
A singer.
A great singer who studied in Europe, came from very modest background in Philadelphia. But both of those people, great Americans, began with a moral core. And they kept it all their life, regardless of the humbleness of their backgrounds.
Didn't make a difference. If given a chance and shown the way, people who are destined to shine will shine. They will, and you're saying, let's just put this in front of kids and let it take off and do
it. The point is, we miss kids. Lincoln and Anderson were special people. Why we have compulsory education, compulsory training in manners and moral core should be part of what we give a child as a gift from our society.
Name a company that you think should be involved. Okay, just name somebody that you say, from your point of view, who should be doing this?
I have listened to the founders of Home Depot, for instance, talk about their humble beginnings, the Italian Americans, and what it took to create a company and to create service. You hear about Chick-fil-A, the restaurants, they have real values associated with their business. But there are many like that.
Mm-hmm. And this is your music in the background.
My music in the background, that's terrific.
You created it for kinder and gentler.
But Humpty Dumpty got there first and promptly took a fall.
We hope you like this song we sing. We hope you like us too.
Thank you for being with us. We'll be back same time, same place next week looking for you. Will you be looking for me? I hope so. Until then, be kind, be gentle, be lovely.